Last week in Huntersville, a survey results were announced. And the survey was about where fatalities occur and warning us where the worst places are. Well, the first thing to do is to be sure to avoid automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatalities. Do not stay at home because 12% of all fatalities occur in the home. Do not walk out on the streets or on the sidewalk because 14% of all fatal accidents occur to pedestrians. And you must avoid traveling by air or rail or water because 16% of all fatalities occur with those means of transportation. And by all means, my friends, stay out of hospitals because 37.9% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Well, you will be very pleased to know that only 0.1% of all fatalities occur in worship. And what that means is the safest place to be in the whole world is where?
Church.
Exactly. The truth is, from one perspective, the most dangerous place to ever be is in worship. Because it is in worship where God's Word seeks to change us, to change who we are and where we're walking in our lives. In fact, to use us, to change us, to bless all the people of the earth. And what makes this possibility of change so dangerous is when God says that to me, I say, "Oh, Lord, you're not talking to me. Because doing that, changing like that, and changing lives like that, that's not possible for me." And God replies, "Yes, that's true. It's impossible with you. But with me," God says, "all things are possible. Even changing your life. Even changing you so that you can change and bless all the lives that you touch." That is the promise and the opportunity that our summer series is offering us, in which we explore all the many ways in which our all things possible God is changing the lives of men and women in the Old Testament so that we can learn and see from them how God can do the same for us. Today, God calls us to let Him change our lives, to let Him bless us, to become all that God created us to be, and to use us to bless others so that they can all become who God created them to be. God does this morning through the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and also a little piece of introduction from the 11th chapter. As we saw last week, God had created all things. He created men and women in His image, blessed with His DNA, given special blessings of talents to use for Him in His work. To take charge, we heard, and be responsible for all the earth, all living things on the earth, for Him. Well, after that, it's an understatement to say things did not go well. But right after that, the first man and the first woman rejected what it is that God wanted them to do, and they decided to do it their way. So God had to expel them from the Garden of Eden. And then their oldest son murdered their younger son. And then from there, things got so bad that all the earth was destroyed except for one family. It turned out that family was just as sinful as all the ancestors that had gone before them. And so ultimately, everybody was just living their way and for themselves. And so men and women got together and decided they were going to build a tower up to heaven to make a great name for themselves. And so God scattered them around the earth. And needless to say, at this point, God has got to be pretty disappointed with what He created and who He created. And so God said, "Well, I'm going to try again." And this time God decides to try with just one person, one man. His name is Abram, later changed to Abraham. Well, Abram lived in about 1900 BCE. He lived in a city called Ur, that today is the city of Baghdad in Iraq. He lived there with his father Terah and his wife Sarai and a very large extended family. He was most likely worshiping the moon god because that was the prevalent and the most powerful god in that area and that region at that time. But our all things possible God was getting ready to change that. He was getting ready to change Abram Some say that the day that we talk about today was the most pivotal moment in all of history. Because through this one man, indeed the whole world was changed, as we will see. But today God offers for this to be a pivotal moment in your life and in my life, to change the course of our lives and thereby to change the earth, or at least maybe one little piece of the earth on which you walk. Here's how it went. Terah took his son Abram, his wife Sarah, who was barren, and she had no children, and the rest of his family, and together they set out from Ur to the land of Canaan, which later became, of course, the promised land. But when they got to Haran, they settled there, and Terah died there. So the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. I would say parenthetically, can you imagine the conversation that Abram had with Sarah? Sarah, I heard a voice today. It was God. Who? God. And God said, "We're going to go somewhere." "Well, where are we going?" "I don't know." "Well, what's going to happen when we get there?" "I don't know." It said, "We're going to be a blessing to all the earth." "Okay, let's go." And to make it even more challenging, Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. And he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh, Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills of East Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. He stopped and built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. And there he praised God, and he prayed to him. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. As far as we know, Abram was a good man. He was now living in Haran, which then and today, with about a different name, was a very prosperous commercial city. Living was good. His life wasn't perfect. His wife was barren. He had no children, but they were 75, so that was in the past. So basically, Abram was living a good life, or at least fine. God does not settle for fine or good lives. God wants more. He always wants to bless us more. God wants more. He wants us to bless more the people in our lives who need Him more, to become all that God created us to be. As Max Lucado says, God loves you just the way you are, but He does not want to leave you that way. God shows us how it is that He can change us and bless us more for us to be a blessing to all the earth. Maybe just a little piece of the earth on which we walk. He does this through three catalysts for life blessing change. The first catalyst for life blessing change is this, and that is to trust. God spoke to Abram, "So go where I take you, destination unknown, and you will be the father of a great nation, even though your wife is barren and has no children. I will bless you to be a blessing to all the people on earth." Well, right there, Abram had a decision to make. Was he going to trust God and God's word? Was he going to trust that God's promises were true? You and I have that same decision to make. God speaks to us through His word. He's doing that this morning. And you and I have a decision to make. Do we trust that God's word is true? Is what God says, is it the truth? Are we willing to trust that His promises will come true? Do we trust God when He says through Jesus these words, "If you will obey my commandments and live as I call you to live, then I will bless you, your marriage, your family, your children, your colleagues, your work, your whole life with the abundant life full of love and joy and peace and so much more"? Do you believe that's true? Will you trust your life? that those words are true? Do we trust God when Jesus says to us these words, love each other as I love you. Forgive those who hurt you. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Love God, not money. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's ways and all these other things you need. God will provide them to you. Bring good news to the poor. Free the oppressed. Visit the prisoners. Give what you have so that everyone will have enough. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Go and give the good news to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the earth. Before you think or say or do anything, be sure, Jesus says, that I will sign my name to it and stamp it with my seal of approval. And Jesus says, when you trust these words, when you live like this, I will make your joy complete. The joy that is in me, Jesus says, it will be in you. And your joy will be complete. And you will be my light to the world, filling the world with the blessings of my light. Now friends, if there is any way, any of you a part of your life that is not what it is that God's Word says to you this morning, I pray that you will pray. Get whatever help or support you need to trust God's Word with your life. With all of your life. Otherwise, you will run the risk of Rose Crawford. She had been blind for 42 years. And then she had an operation. And when the surgeon removed the bandages from her eyes, she could see. And she wept tears. Bless you. She wept tears by the dazzling light that she saw that she had never seen. The sad inside story of Rose Crawford is she'd known about this surgery for 20 years. But she did not trust that she would be healed. She was willing to live in blindness and darkness rather than take the risk of her life being changed by the surgery, not knowing for sure how it would come out until a friend finally caused her to trust and be blessed. My friends, do not spend 20 years or 20 months or 20 weeks or 20 days or even 20 hours walking in darkness without the light of the truth of God taking hold of your life and trusting your life that those words are true and His promises can come true for you. For if you will, trust Him, He will change your life. He will bless you in ways you cannot imagine. And you will become a blessing to all the earth, or maybe just that little piece of earth on which you walk. You see, Abram trusted God. And because he did, the blessings immediately began to flow. He was led in this land of Canaan that flowed with milk and honey, and by the way, lots of wine. And his barren, childless wife gave birth to a child when he was 100 years old. And that child had a child, and that child had many children, and they populated the earth. And eventually, the family of Abram became the father of Jesus, who indeed, just as God promised, is a blessing to all the earth, including those of us who sit here in this piece of the earth. You see, we know what happens when you trust God because we watch Abram and this God's third catalyst for life-changing, life-blessing change occurs in his life, which is to travel. We say yes to what God says to us. God is always going to take us, my friends, from where we are to where He wants us to be. And remember this, when we say yes to God, to what He says to us, His travel plans include these three. Give up, get up, and go out to where God wants us to go. When Abram trusted God and said yes to God's word, and lived in response to that word, he gave up his home. He gave up his father's family, his comfort, his friends, his security, his focus on himself, his way of making a living. He gave all those things up. in order for God to take him where he needed to go. His father, you see, headed out for Canaan and never made it, because the scripture says he stopped in Haran and he got lured away by all that Haran offered, and lost out on all that God offered. So my friends, I pray that you will trust what God says to you. Do not stop at Haran, halfway on the way to the promised land that God has for you. I pray that your life will not reflect this street sign, road sign, in Michigan many years ago. In the early days of the automobile, the roads were basically mud roads. And during the summer in Michigan, there would be this huge rust would appear, but when the winter would come, the rust would be frozen solid. So the beginning of one of these roads was this sign that says, "Watch the rut you start in, because you're going to be there for the next 50 miles. Now friends, you and I sometimes find ourselves in a rut. Our lives are just like they've been for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years. What God said to us this morning is trust His Word. Get out of those ruts. Give up your attitudes and your priorities. They're not what God wants. Give up those unhealthy habits, those unhealthy relationships, those unhealthy addictions. Your focus on yourselves. Anything in your life that is not what it is that God wants for you. God will bless you, my friends. Begin small ways, begin big ways, and He will, trust Him, use you to bless someone in your life who needs His blessing. I decided not to do this morning, only in summary. But I can tell you this is true. Well, 7.5 years ago, Sally and I gave up our old life. We gave up the income of a partner in a law firm. I gave up my friends and my colleagues. We gave up our lifestyle. We gave up what we were used to. God brought us from Haran to Canaan, because since that time, our lives have been blessed in ways that we never could have imagined. And I pray and hope that in some way your lives have been blessed as well. I want this so much for you. I want you to believe that what C.S. Lewis said was true, and that is that it's not that we expect too much of God, we just expect too little. We are so myopic in what we think God can do in our lives. So I'm going to remind you of the story of Millard Fuller. Millard was born in Alabama in 1935 to a poor farming family. The gift God gave him was the gift of being an entrepreneur. Because when he was... Don't get ahead of me, Kelly. That's okay. So when he was 6 years old, his dad gave him a pig. He fattened up the pig and sold that pig for $11. He took that $11 and bought some more pigs. He sold those pigs and started buying chickens. He sold the chickens and started buying and selling rabbits. He was making a lot of money as a kid. He earned his way into Auburn University, Bobby. And while he was at Auburn, he met a fellow student named Morris Dees. And together they started a business while they were in college. And they had one goal, and that goal was to get rich. And they did. They started out with a mail order company, and then they began selling student directories, and then they began selling cookbooks. They were the largest seller of cookbooks in the United States by the time they graduated from Auburn University. By the time Millard Fuller was 27 years old, he was a multimillionaire many times over. Now, Kelly, here's that man. There's Millard at the top when he was a college student. There's he and Morris up there looking at all the stuff they sell, all these books. And there's his happy family. He was married to Linda and had three kids. Life was good. Had a great lifestyle, fancy cars, nice house, cottage at the beach. Life was good. Problem was, Miller's life was in Haran, not Canaan, where God wanted him to be. Miller worked hard. He was running several businesses. And what Millard wanted for his life took over his life, not what God wanted. His marriage was important. His family was important. But his actions showed business was more important. He'd grown up going to church. God was important. But his actions showed that his business was a lot more important than church, and certainly more important than God. What happened was the inevitable. Eventually, Linda and the three children left him. Got to know that they had gone to be in New Jersey with her parents. That brought Millard to his knees. And he prayed for God to change him in some way. You pray that prayer, friends, you better get ready. Because that's just what God has been waiting for all your life. So he convinced Linda to give it another try. She said, I'll tell you what, we'll go to Florida, we'll drive down there, we'll spend a week, and we'll see what happens. Well, what happened was, on the way, they stopped and stayed with some friends in Georgia. They told them what was happening. The friends in Georgia introduced them to a man named Clarence Jordan, who led a small group of Christians in what they call the Koinonia Christian Community, dedicated to fighting poverty. Miller and Linda and their children never made it to Florida. With this band of Christians, they prayed. They read God's word together. Miller recommitted his life to God and to Jesus Christ. Submit his life to whatever it is God wanted for his life and how God wanted to change him. What Miller came to see is that his love of money was limiting his life. And it was ruining the life that God had created him to live. And so the family asked God to show them what God could do with the money if they gave it to God. Next slide. So there's Millard and Clarence Jordan, who was a legend in himself. And there's Millard writing while he's praying and thinking about what it is they should do if they gave their money to God. Within 3 months, God moved them to give up what was getting in the way of living the blessed life and blessing life that God wanted for them. They sold everything. Everything. And they dedicated themselves by going out to see what God would do now with his money. And God led them to see the horrible conditions in which the poor were living throughout Georgia and a lot of the South. And so in 1970, they used a portion of the proceeds, Kelly, to build 6 houses in Georgia. In 1973, God showed that he was not through with Miller or Linda or the family. They moved their entire family to Zaire, which is now the Congo. Was, and now again, is the Congo. And while they were there, they used a portion of the proceeds to build 12 houses for the poor in Zaire. They returned to Georgia and started what we now call Habitat for Humanity, a ministry committed to follow God's word, a ministry committed to be led by the teachings of Jesus, a ministry with the audacious belief that it could bless all the people on earth. That's their mission. So what happened is, Habitat for Humanity has now built more than 1 million homes, housing more than 5 million people, building homes in every continent on earth except Antarctica. Kelly, there is Miller and his wife in his later days. Not only did they build houses, but he became an advocate for the poor. He insisted the newspaper take pictures of people's homes that were infested by rats, taking pictures of the rats. And saying, that's the way people live. Is that what God wants? And because of that compelling message of this wonderful, gifted entrepreneur, people by the millions and millions have built Habitat houses all around the world. Miller became an unrelenting advocate for blessing the whole earth with the blessings of God and the ways of Jesus. Our all things possible God help them have this mission statement, which is God's love in action, building homes, building hope, building lives. Unfortunately, Miller died at age 79, suddenly with an aneurysm. Kelly? But just before he died, oh, by the way, Bobby, that sign up there is an Auburn magazine. It says, God's Man. You and Millard Fuller, Bobby, God's men. So, just before he died, he was in Charlotte, one of our habitat building campaigns, and he was interviewed, and as he was interviewed, he remembered one of his first houses. When the mother and her family moved in with this family, she declared, God and Millard Fuller have blessed us. I feel like we were dead and buried, and now he's done, dug us up. Millard smiled and added, actually, I'm the one God has blessed. I was dead, and God dug me up. Linda, Clarence, and some wonderful Christian brothers and sisters got me to trust God. Some would say that we gave up a lot, but the truth is, I gave up what God needed me to give up, what I needed to give up, so that he could bless me, bless our marriage, save our family, so that he could give me more than I could have ever hoped for, peace and love and complete joy and abundance. I am so thrilled that I'm able to give his blessings to so many more. Indeed, my friends, the mission of Millard Fuller's life and the life of those who follow him is God's love in action, building homes, building hope, building lives, blessing the whole earth with the power of all things possible, God. To God ask each one of us today, including this person saying all these words, is there anything in your life that needs a change? Like Abram, like Millard, so that God can help you give up what is getting in the way, limiting your life, perhaps ruining the life that could have been? Is there anything that God wants to get you up and go out to see and to do for him so that God can give you more than you could ever imagine, to let God use you to dig up someone's dead life? And whether this will happen depends, finally, on God's third catalyst for life blessing change, which I'm going to close today, and that is take time to stop and to worship. When Abram began to travel, to get up and go out and receive God's blessing, he took time, every time you notice that, to stop and to build an altar, to worship God, to praise God, to pray to God, to keep on blessing his life. You notice at each one of these scriptures, he builds the altar, he worships, and God continues moving him on to blessing after blessing after blessing, even blessing us today through Jesus. Well, this is a profound truth that I was reminded of 2 months ago when a special person and I had coffee. Well, I got on Jordan Leifer's busy schedule. Let's put Jordan up there. By the way, I just want y'all to know, one of Jordan's most favorite things in the whole world is being the center of attention. She loves for people to put her up front and talk about her and show pictures of her and all this good stuff. So Jordan Leifer's getting ready to go on this journey. So I'm, you know, her wise pastor, and I'm going to give her all this great advice. And I talked to her mom, and she was very stressed out about her college decision. And so I was going to tell her to be at peace about this. God will tell you where to go. And so we have coffee. And I start out saying, well, Jordan, how's it going? You know, those open-ended pastor kind of questions. She says, well, I've decided where I'm going to school. I thought, oh, boy, I've just wasted 30 minutes of prep time. And she said she was going to Chapel Hill, and I swallowed hard and said, well, it's not Davidson, but okay. And Jordan, I just want you to know that I have worn as close to Carolina blue as I could find in my closet today on your behalf. So we're having this great chat, and basically she's prayed about this, and God led her to Chapel Hill, where she could be blessed and where she could be a blessing. So I didn't want to waste this opportunity to give her some good advice. So I said, well, Jordan, when you get to Chapel Hill, unlike Davidson, of course, there are going to be all these temptations. You're going to be out there on your own without your parents and Jacob to keep you straight. And you're going to be tempted in all these ways, not necessarily these sinful things, but just to drift away. And so I just hope that that will not happen for you, but be aware that it's going to happen. Jordan looked at me with her serious look. No smile. She said, I know that. And that's why I'm going to pray for God to lead me to good Christian friends. And I'm going to pray that God will lead me to a church where I can worship so that I can stay strong with God. End of advice. Well, I don't know where Jordan's life is going to lead her. Where any of your lives are going to lead you. I hope it looks like this. I hope that your life is a continuing road. You don't get stuck in Haran. And that God will lead you and guide you to a blessing where day after day you go closer to Him. This amazing, beautiful light of life that God wants for you. And that's only going to happen, my friends, if we do what Abram did. And that is to stop and take time to worship, to praise God for all the blessings so far, to pray to God to change your life so that you can become more and more every day the blessing-filled person He created you to be, so that you can go and be a blessing to someone in your life, perhaps even like Millard Fuller, all the way to the ends of the earth. Who knows what will happen in your life if you'll take time to stop, connect with God, walk on that path with Him, that light that gets brighter and brighter and brighter every day. So that, in Jordan Lifer's words, you and I will stay strong with God. And on this day, when we pray for God to change us, to bless us, and to be a blessing, what greater blessing could there be than that, to pray, to let God lead us to stay strong with Him? Amen.